Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
Welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. For a radio audience tuning in at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com, we're glad you all can be with us. Also, tuning in through online affiliates around the world through our podcast, we're glad you all could be with us as well. I was listening to our next guest. It's hard to believe it was 5 years ago, back in 2019, I had a chance to interview award-winning author Jean McWilliams-Blasberg. It was with her book, The Nine, at the time, where now she's out with a brand-new book called Daughter of a Promise. We're going to talk to her not only about her writing success, but also what it's been like for her to craft these stories that entertain us, to inspire us, but also, I think, make us think about life and the choices we have to make. If you all are just now finding out about Jean's new book, we'll let you know how to get your own copy of it and stay connected with her. Jean, so good to have you back on with us. Thanks for the time.
Oh, Cyrus, I'm so happy to be here in conversation with you.
Well, look, I was looking forward to this, and I always look forward to your work. And as I said, you and I first connected with The Nine, which it's hard to believe that it was 5 years ago. But you've had such a tremendous journey these past 5 years, Jean. Let's begin there. What has it been like for you to not only to have crafted these stories over the years, but to see the way that readers are resonating with them?
Yeah, it's really, really rewarding. I mean, I think this is just the reason I write. There's a lot of things you think are going to be success. When you start out with an artistic endeavor, you think it might be book sales, or it might be, I don't know. But really, the connection I'm making with readers and the conversations I'm getting into with folks about the topics I write about, it's just incredible. And really, like, the human connections I'm making are fabulous.
And you're not afraid to go there. Now, I definitely want to talk to you about the writing process for you, because I think no matter where you set your work, Jean, there is a connection that the reader feels. Is that part of that rewarding feeling that you were just talking about, knowing that not only are readers taking the journey along with you, but they actually are feeling the characters that you're creating?
Well, that's such a compliment. I think when you refer to The Nine, and I wrote a novel before The Nine called Eden, which is filled with mothers and daughters, but especially with The Nine, I introduced this main character in Hannah Weber, who was definitely an imperfect person. And now with my main character in Daughter of a Promise, I've got a young woman who makes some good choices and bad choices and definitely is at that young adult stage of trying to figure it out and making mistakes and trying to recover from mistakes. And yeah, I think those are the kind of characters we can all relate to, because everybody's lives is a series of mess ups and do-overs and trying to dig yourself out of holes and trying to do trying to do the best thing you can do in the moment with the information you have. And so even though it's hard to sometimes write those characters, because you definitely want your readers to have sympathy for your main characters, I've kind of challenged myself to write complicated people. And I hope that my readers will give them the benefit of the doubt and stick with them till the end.
I love the fact that we do feel as though we're able to grow with these characters, especially when it comes to Daughter of a Promise, Jean. There's a passage I'm going to share a little bit later from one of the chapters that really, I think, says something about the scene you write it in, but also says something bigger about the character as well. But so let's talk about how it all begins. For yourself, when it comes to Daughter of a Promise, did it begin with the place, or was it something about the main character that spoke to you initially?
I guess it was like a convergence of things. I mean, when you start off on a project, you kind of need that one thing that makes you feel like this is so necessary. And for me, that was writing this young woman in her situation in a job that wasn't really the right job for her, but it was an opportunity for her to get confidence. Because so she starts off in investment banking in one of these analyst training programs, and she's a very unlikely hire because she doesn't have a degree in economics or math. and she comes from a college that's not as prestigious as her colleagues are coming from. And I really knew what that felt like because I was that person who ended up in an investment banking training program in 1987, actually, and always felt like their head was just above water. And I knew through my entire writing career that I wanted to get that sensation down on paper of what it felt like to feel like you were in this prestigious job and you didn't want to screw it up, but also feel like this was not the job you were intended to do. This is not what you were best at. However, you were making good money and everybody else in the world was really impressed by what you were doing. So you were trying to figure it out. And anyway, I always knew I wanted to write about that sensation. And then things started to converge, like I said, with a story that I thought I could get that feeling into, the kind of the plot. And then I always knew the setting would be New York City.
Yeah. And I think in that city, there is this whole idea of pursuing dreams, right? But also, mm-hmm. of course, the rat race and the cutthroat nature that can exist. And we kind of see those things kind of converge. And in the middle of that, you have a woman not only coming into her own, but also finding her place where she belongs. I want to talk about the sense of belonging for a second. Because I think as I was reading this book, Daughter of a Promise, the thing I thought about, Jean, is that we all can relate, right? Whether we're going to a physical place or, you know, something, you know, within ourselves. We're all are trying to find where we are. What was that connection like for you to have with the main character?
Oh, that's a great question. I think I really needed to write my way into what the answer was to that question. I mean, originally, and really in the story, Betsabe believes that she needs to kind of disassociate with the world from which she came and the world in which she was raised, and that New York City had everything to teach her. Sometimes it's like getting back to that elemental, just the basics, that I kind of belong. I belong anywhere in the world, but the truth of who I am were things I was raised with. And so she needs to get back to the values and kind of connecting with the earth and nature in a way that she was raised with. And it's not necessarily belonging to a certain place, because I think we can all find belonging in different places and find our people in different places. But it was really feeling comfortable in her own skin is Betsabe's growth journey, like understanding what was inside her that was her power, that was her her strength and like her center. She hadn't quite figured that out growing up, and I don't think that's unusual.
Yeah. I think, too, what the reason I guess I thought of that question, too, Jean, is that there's an idea of we being able to see her not only, of course, thinking about herself today, but also what has been. In Chapter 13, we get a glimpse of, you know, of growing up, right? And one of the things that you talk about in that chapter is about, you know, her father sending her the package with the stuffed animal. And kind of not making the connection as to where she was at that point in her life. I love the fact that we're able to kind of see her kind of grow and realize the maturity that she is being able to exhibit. But also, of course, as I mentioned earlier, just trying to figure things out. And I think, too, integrity comes through in this book as well, because what I thought about, too, is that there are instances that happen where she has to make some really important decisions, not only for herself, but also in protecting others. Was that something also, when you think about the cast of characters she's kind of surrounded herself with, Jean, was that also part of the fun of this story, too, of seeing her connection with them?
Oh, always. I mean, I think the way you show a character is really in relation to other people. It's how we all get to know people, is how we interact with other people and how we handle circumstances. One thing I want to touch on, though, Cyrus, is that part of my inspiration for this book was putting this young woman in this plot with a much older, more powerful man in her boss, as kind of a retelling of the David and Bathsheba story that's in the book of Samuel in the Bible. And so in the fun I was having adhering and paralleling the plot of that ancient story, that really started to direct a lot of my decisions. And in that ancient tale, Bathsheba and her husband, who in my novel, Grant, is kind of a proxy for that more appropriate age, you know, age-appropriate relationship, you know, there's some dishonesty and some, you know, poor Grant in my situation, or Uriah in the Bible, is a bit of the scapegoat. And so it never, things are never really clear in the ancient story as to how the woman is taking part in some of these machinations. But in my story, I really wanted Bathsheba to be in the situation where she knows what's best for Grant, she knows what's best for her, and she is like kind of vacillating back and forth as to what to do, but in the end kind of does the right thing. But, you know, there is that moment of panic I think we have when the rubber hits the road and there's a real, like, crisis in our lives. And we're like, should I do what's best for me? No, should I do the right thing? Should I do what's best for me? Should I do the right thing? And it's not like you ever are 100% clear. Even if you're planning to do the right thing, there's this gnawing devil on your shoulder all the time. Saying, look out for yourself, look out for yourself. And so anyway, I wanted to explore that and kind of illustrate that type of a situation. And I think she's filled with those kinds of situations, and we watch her, for the most part, do the right thing.
Right.
All the time, yeah.
And I think, too, that when you said that, I thought about, of course, her relationship with David, right? Of course, another biblical name there. But I thought it was really interesting because there was that one scene that you wrote in the book as they're talking about love, you know, and the connection between love and honesty, which I thought was a really interesting exchange there. And that's one of the things for audience to keep in mind. That kind of is one of the things that comes up in this book, right? What does it mean? I have said on this program over the years, Jean, something that the old me would not have even thought, and that is there such a thing as too much truth? I think sometimes in this book we find ourselves asking that same question. Did you find yourself asking that?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I think I kind of poke fun at that. Like, Bathsheba's best friend, Ray, is all about 100% truth, or at least she says she is. And Bathsheba's always like, yeah, that's not really how it works. Like, for the most part, you're always honest, but, like, you can't always be honest. And Ray is so idealistic. And I think, you know, we all have heard those ultimatums, like, would you tell the truth if it meant, you know, hurting someone's feelings? And I there's nothing that trite in this book. But
yeah.
I think one of the things I set off to do in the form of the novel takes the form of a letter that Bathsheba's writing several years after this year in her life to her unborn son. So I really did want it to be a novel that allowed my older and wiser narrator protagonist to expouse words of wisdom, and a lot of that has to do with love and honesty and all the different kinds of love there are, whether it's the love of a good best friendship, the love of a colleague who you're collaborating with at work, the romantic love, maternal love, and then most importantly, the love of loving yourself. So
right.
I think I also try to make the point about honesty is an elemental step in achieving all these different types of love.
Such a great point, and I think it's something that readers will definitely pick up on. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, welcome. You're listening to Conversations Live for our radio audience here in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com. Of course, online worldwide via our podcast. We're excited to welcome back award-winning author G. McWilliams Blasberg to our broadcast today. Jean is celebrating her newest book, Daughter of a Promise, that is out now. You all can get your own copy of it. Jean, I have to ask you about something. Of course, all of us are on social media these days. I think myself sometimes maybe too much, but I think you've been able to spend time with your readers as well. What has that been like for you, now that the book is out, to actually hear from readers about how they're connecting with the characters, but also enjoying having these conversations with you?
Yeah, well, the book's only been out a week, and the reviews that are coming in are strong. I got a great 5-star review from Kirkus, and that came in early. But the people who are connecting with the book right now, it's really exciting because a surprising number of people are making the parallel between the David and Bathsheba story and are going back to the book of Samuel and are like, wait, are you kidding me? Is this really what happens? And but I think a lot of people are just, even if they don't know that connection to the book of Samuel, that they're really relating to Bathsheba. She's a truly modern woman who is trying to figure out, like, this word feminism, how do I fit in, like, how does that apply to me, and how do I feel about all these things, and what's my stance, and work, you know, workplace politics, how do I navigate this world when, you know, I could be outraged by certain things, but it doesn't really behoove me to always be outraged. And, you know, she's just constantly trying to figure out how to be. And I think one of the themes is she lacks a mentor, and lacking a mentor is one of the reasons she's vulnerable to falling in love with a much older person. But we watch her with her lack of mentorship and lack of role models really trying to figure stuff out. And I think it's been really fun. I've been hearing from folks who are calling Bathsheba a heroine for our age.
Love that. Love that. Well, I can definitely see that. And I will say this about you, Jean, as a storyteller. You know, you always give us these complete stories that make us want to have these conversations. We are able to enjoy the journey with the characters, but also, of course, being able to share with other people. For yourself, I mean, was this, when you kind of look at how the pieces came together, what was it like for you to finally say, this is the story that I wanted to tell?
Well, you know, I never think it's worth or it's deserving of killing trees or printing books and all the natural resources, unless it's like a story that really I feel needs to be told and I want to tell. I thought about, like, what's the importance of this message when it comes to all my books? And I guess with this one, it really has to do with understanding how powerful you are and how unique we each are. But really for young women, embracing their authentic selves and their power much earlier in life. I think if I had to look back on my life, I'm 58 now. It might have not been until my 40s or so that I felt comfortable in my own skin. And wouldn't it be nice if young women could capture that sense of confidence and ease in their life earlier? And so Bathsheba has this year where so much is packed into 1 year. It's like a incubator or a booster on steroids of, like, growing up. And wouldn't it be nice if, you know, we wouldn't all want to go through the tragedy that she needs to go through, but in some ways, if we could all I don't know, I guess that's what growing up is all about. But I just see right now anxiety and like a difficult period in a young woman's 20s and early 30s trying to figure it out. And so I just wanted to write a character that was like a going through it as well, but had kind of figured it out. I don't know. I think that's an important message. I don't think there are a lot of imperfect female characters out there who are living a real life and dealing with issues. I mean, obviously this is somewhat of a metaphor of a biblical story and a fairy tale, so it's not real life, but she is dealing with like contemporary situations that I think are relatable, and I just thought that was important.
Well, I think there's so much, I think too, there are these little subtle messages though that I think we, and one just came to mind as you were talking. Is the character's name Tamara in the book, Jean?
Yeah, Tamara.
Well, there's that great scene that you wrote in the book that I think says a whole lot, you know, and that is, you know, where Tamara's being talked about and, you know, being asked to be cut some slack, and the response being, she's beautiful, she has everything she wants, what's so difficult? And I think so many times that we can trivialize, you know, we think, well, this person looks great, you know. You know,
yeah.
What could possibly be wrong, right? I mean, and I think this book kind of answers that question by giving us that internal look, you know, at the main character and really at ourselves, I think, when it comes to how we deal with things and how a lot of times just because we may look a certain way on the outside does not mean we have it all together, right? And I think that's one of the cool things, about this.
Yeah, you're referencing a very glib response by her father that's cringeworthy.
Yeah.
And I guess I wanted to bring up another point, which is in the biblical story, it's entirely written from David's point of view, or not his first person point of view, but in the third person, but really with, in terms of how everything that happens affects David's life. And, I just really think it's important to write about a love affair, maybe a love affair that looks very inappropriate on the outside, from the woman's point of view, and it's not black or white, and there's a lot of gray area, and there's a lot of reasons she's attracted to this relationship, and there's a lot of reasons she knows it's probably not socially acceptable, and, you know, yada yada, but like, I don't think there's that many books that go inside a woman's mind and give her agency and allow her to be real and imperfect and like you said, compromise, you know, no relationship is 100% perfect and no relationship is 100% bad. And you're kind of going for something that's 95% great and 5%, like nothing in life is perfect, but you do make certain trade-offs. And so I really think it's important, or I thought it was important, to honor that voice of a young woman. And it's totally absent in the biblical story. Nobody cares about the woman's voice. And in a lot of writing, women also have to be kind of virtuous and perfect and without shame in order to be the protagonist in the novel. So I'm challenging my reader to have sympathy and empathy for a young woman who is less than perfect, but is doing a pretty darn good job at the end of the day.
Yeah. Such a great point and such a great conversation with you, Jean, which is why I'm so glad to have you back on. Again, everyone, Jean McWilliams-Blasberg has been our guest. Her new book is Daughter of a Promise. It is out now. You can get it through our friends at Amazon.com or through your favorite local bookstore if they don't have it. I know they'd be more than happy to order it for you. And Jean, thank you again for stopping by. How can our audience stay connected with you?
Oh, Cyrus, the easiest way for my people interested in learning more is through my website, which is jeanblasberg.com, and on the website there are links to purchase the book through all sorts of different avenues, as well as links to my social media. I'm pretty active on Instagram as Jean Blasberg Author, and then my books are available wherever books are sold, but I'd love to connect with people on my website.
Well, definitely looking forward to having you back on, and I look forward to staying connected with you on IG as well, Jean.
Me too. Hopefully it won't be 5 years.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to that, okay?
All right.
And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all so much for being with us here on Conversations Live. You all make it a great one. Take care.